I think a lot of us miss our turn to be used by God because of disappointment in our life. Setbacks we've experienced. On the other side of disappointment, often we can see that our disappointments led us to our destiny. I'm preaching better than you're talking back to me. I'll give you a minute to catch up. Is that some of the things that we thought we wanted were the things that God had to withhold to make room for the things that we ultimately needed. It is easier to clap about that when you're not living through it. Have you ever noticed how the way we explain something after the event has transpired is often much different than how we experienced it? And we say after we've experienced something that, you know, well, it all turned out for the good, but you weren't so sure about that while it was happening. You weren't so sure about that during the divorce, but now after the divorce, you can say, okay, well, I didn't want the divorce, and I'm not saying the divorce was God's will, but I can see how God's even using that now in my life. But when you're going through it, it feels like death, and you can't even see any life after this. You can't see how the fact that they laid you off from that job was actually preparing you for something, teaching you some things, gonna get you some discipline in some areas, and that later on a door would open up that God would use to move you into new dimensions. But you can't see the destiny in the face of the disappointment. David is an illustration of how to deal with disappointment. I believe, you want to know the truth about it, David was more than just a shepherd, more than just a giant killer. He was a future king in training. I know many of you know this, but for the benefit of those who may not have gotten to go to Vacation Bible School, let me share a little bit of the context of 1 Samuel 16. Can I teach a little bit? Can I teach a little bit? On the day that Samuel came to town to replace Saul, because the Lord was grieved that he made Saul king, because although Saul had the stature of a king, he didn't have the heart of a shepherd. God give us shepherds even in our nation in political seats of power that will have a heart for your people. Give us pastors and fathers and leaders that will have a heart for your people. And so God said, I'm looking for a man after my own heart. Well, when Samuel came to town with his horn of oil, which was symbolically poured on the head of the next king, he went to Jesse's house, because that's where God told him to go. He said, the next king is in Jesse's house, but he didn't tell him which of Jesse's 8 sons was going to be the king, because sometimes God will give you enough of the details to get you in the right area, but he won't give you enough specifics where you don't need him to show you what to do next. Sometimes we want God to show us everything about our life and our decisions, but if he did, we wouldn't need him. So he gives us enough light to know the next step, but not enough light where we won't need him to guide us along the path. So he goes to Jesse's house. Samuel the prophet goes to Jesse's house, and he looks at all the sons of Jesse. Eliab was the oldest one. One's name was Shammah. All these boys that were so impressive. Eliab was very tall. Saul was tall. And God said, not him, and 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 not him. I love this about God, that he selects what man rejects. He uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. And after they passed over all 7 of the select sons, Samuel says, do you have another one? And when Jesse talks about David, he doesn't even have the common courtesy to mention his name. You know what he calls him? I want to read this to you. It's in verse 11, chapter 16, verse 11. Jesse said, well, there's the youngest. There's the youngest. He doesn't identify him according to his potential, just his current position. You know, life will do this to you. Try to label you according to your educational background, according to your ethnicity, according to whether you're a man or a woman, or according to your, life will try to label you this way. Well, there's the youngest, but he's tending the sheep. And Samuel said, send for him. We won't sit down until he arrives. And the one that they didn't even think to bring in the room was the one that God had chosen from the foundation of the world. want to make an announcement. You can't disappoint what God has appointed. You can't disappoint. When God calls your name, when God gets ready to use you, when God gets ready to do work in your life, when God gets ready to raise you up, when God gets ready to send you forth, when God gets ready to stir up your gift, when God gets ready to release your purpose. This new stage preach is pretty good. I feel good about it. Shove somebody next to you and tell them he's calling your name. And see, I love God because he knew how to find David even in the field. He didn't need David to be in the lineup. Do you know what? You don't have to position yourself in front of people to be used by God. You don't have to convince a committee that you're good enough for the grace of God. How many are grateful that God chooses sovereignly whom he wills and uses sovereignly whom he wills? And when God gets ready to use you, there's no devil in hell that can stop. Touch your neighbor, say, don't miss it. Don't miss your turn. And see, if it had been up to people, David wouldn't have gotten his turn. But when God says it's your time, he knows exactly where to find you. Don't stress out about it. Don't worry about whether or not people appreciate you. Don't even worry about whether they notice you. Don't even worry about whether they call you by your correct name. It doesn't matter. You cannot disappoint what God has appointed. But if David hadn't been in the field keeping sheep, he wouldn't have been prepared to lead people. What he should have, could have, would have seen as being very insignificant was exactly the thing that he needed to prepare him for his assignment. It's a funny thing, though, because, you know, you would expect that after this moment where David is anointed, appointed, and called to be a king, that the next scene we would see would be that of David and his driver making a trip, perhaps to Neiman Marcus. Come on, if God told you you would be the next king, wouldn't you want to go try on some robes and some crowns, size 42, short? Wouldn't you want to try on some Versace crowns, Armani robe? I need to get ready for this thing. And sometimes we expect that when God announces a change in our life, it's going to be activated immediately. And we get confused when God says it's your time, but he makes us wait our turn. And sometimes God is doing things. It was on that day that David was announced to be a king, but it would be many years later that he would wear the crown. You know, when you give your life to Christ, in a moment you're saved, in a moment you're forgiven, in a moment you're cleansed, in a moment you're redeemed. All of those things are true of you immediately. But all of the changes that those new realities are meant to produce in your life happen not immediately, but gradually. And you know what I see people do? I see people become very discouraged in the process of awaiting the change that God initiated. Because we're a little bit confused. I remember Elijah was so confused when we gave the money to build Elevation Ballantyne. We bought the land back in 2012. And Elijah was 6 years old at the time, and he gave an offering. Our whole family was supposed to give. And so I let Elijah give $70 of my money that we pretended was his. It's like all the money that he thinks he has. And after he gave the money, he said, "So, Daddy, we're having church at Elevation Ballantyne next Sunday?" Because in his mind, I gave the money. And so now it's 4 years later now, and here we are finally. We bought the land in one season. We built the building in the next. And sometimes you walk away from your initial investment because you don't see the immediate development. I'm trying to say sometimes you give up on your calling too easily and you miss your turn. David didn't go on try on crowns and practice his king wave and practice signing kingly autographs. David went back to the sheep field to do what he was doing before until one day, everybody say one day. One day he was given an assignment by his father. His father turns to him one day, and I don't know if a lot of people know this part of the story because everybody knows about the slingshot, and everybody knows about Goliath, and everybody knows about how Goliath fell. And I'll tell you what, if you ever want to be a preacher, you should preach about Goliath. People love to hear sermons about Goliath because everybody has something in their life that's bigger than them. Everybody has something in their life that's been intimidating them. Everybody has a fear, an anxiety, an addiction. I could go around the room. I think I could probably point at people and look at them long enough and guess what your Goliath is. Some of y'all spend too much. Some of y'all eat too much. Some of y'all talk too much. Some of y'all judge too much. Can I keep going? I won't do it, but I could. And everybody has a Goliath, right? And you preach about Goliath and it makes for good preaching, man. And Goliath is going to fall down and you could kill the giant. I believe that, man. But can I tell you something that's fascinating to me that the Lord spoke to me? The Lord spoke to me. I was studying this text and the Lord said to me, most of the people you're talking to never even get to Goliath. You're trying to teach them how to kill an enemy that they're never even going to meet. So when he said that to me, you know, not out loud, just kind of this impression I got, I was like, what do you mean? And I went back to the text and I remembered this. I saw this back in college. In fact, I used to share about it in college because I thought it was important to talk about faithfulness in the small things. And it was one day. Everybody say one day. Say it louder. Say one day.
One day.
Touch your neighbor and say, this could be, your day, for a turnaround. Now, Jesse, this is 1 Samuel 17:17. It says that this giant from Gath named Goliath was confronting and defying the people of God for 40 days. And every day he would taunt them. But Jesse said to his son, David, verse 17 is kind of confusing because Jesse must have forgotten that he was talking to a future king. Because what he asked him to do was so menial. He said, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. And David could have said, who do you think you're talking to? Didn't you hear what Samuel said about me? I am a man of potential and purpose. I don't have time to run your little errands. I'm not trying to take bread and cheese to the same brothers who didn't even bring me into the room when Samuel came to choose a king. But this is the test, see, to see if David will do the basic things. Sometimes we want God to use us to do a big thing, and we won't even do the basics. Talk to me, somebody. How in the world can God use us to do something big, and we won't even do something basic? I love David's heart because the story could have stopped right here if he had said, I'm not doing that. I'm a king. I'm not doing that. You're demeaning to me. I'm not doing that. You know all the ways that we disobey God? These little things that he asked us to do? Call your sister and tell her you're sorry. reach out to somebody who looks different than you and listen to them about their struggle. It's funny to me, some of us want to kill Goliath, but we don't want to tend sheep and we don't want to make deliveries. We want to see big victories. But how in the world can God use us to kill giants if we can't even follow simple instructions?
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.